Life. There we go. Welcome to the Church of Mavis radio show. It's Friday night, 7:17 p.m. Central. A little late, but no biggie. It's just one of those kind of weeks. The show was off for 2 weeks. One time was because of, the hurricane stuff, and then I wasn't sure if we'd be doing it the next Friday, but then they ended up doing it, and by then the guest was like he couldn't do it, so I was just like, screw it. The pirate guy will come back hopefully in November. This is dude that dresses like a pirate and talks about horror movies on some weird show on some weird channel somewhere and won awards and stuff. Kind of like one of like Elvira for dudes or something, but a dude. Maybe that's not the best comparison.
Elvira,
but, you know,
for dudes. Well, yeah. The problem is Elvira has the best boobs ever. So,
yes, yeah. True. But tonight's guest, Mike Hacker. Great to have you here, Mike.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Wham.
Thank
good
you.
Good to be here.
Now, your company is ET in Arcadia Audio. Mm-hmm. How long has it been around, and what can you tell us about it?
Well, it's been around for about 4 years now. I've been producing audiobooks in the paranormal area for that time. Books by Brad Steiger mostly, and now Jacques Vallee.
Cool. Now, I know Brad, I've done some interviews with him before. He passed not too long ago too, didn't he? Yep.
Yeah, a couple that years sucked. Ago, actually. Yeah, it was sad. And then his wife and co-author passed last year from COVID.
His wife did too? Wow.
Jerry Hansen Steiger.
Gosh.
Yeah, I was bereft.
A lot of people have been passing away lately, like Skylar Alfgren, she
no,
passed away.
No.
And then you didn't know that?
No. Yeah,
that if you go to her page, you'll see everything, but it was just misfortunate. There's been Scott Martis, another guy that's been on the show. He passed away. He was like this cool dude that hunt water monsters with a big giant boat and actually like went out looking for them. He passed away. There's been a bunch. Another controversial one who's been on my show, Robert David Steele, passed away. And of course, I think his politics suck, but he still passed away. And it's weird because on his Wikipedia, it says COVID, you know, I said that COVID was a hoax, and then you move over a sentence, die from COVID. So, yeah. Which I don't want to laugh for karma's sake, but I don't wish death on anyone, but that COVID is taking the scorecard, buddy, for sure. No doubt about it. And it really sucks. But of course, Skylar was something else. She wasn't from that. There's other people, but I've lost count. There's been so many greats over the years that I've been keeping up with it. And like, are they trying to kill us with like an energy weapon? Like, I'm sure I'm just being paranoid, or maybe not. But Jim Mars, Stanton Friedman, Jerry Pippin, Kevin
Jim
Smith.
Mars passed?
Yeah, Jim Mars passed. Wow, pretty long time ago. And I
wasn't aware of that. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's okay. It happens. There's so many. That's how I usually find them. I don't know at first, and then you find them and like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. But I knew about Jim because of his Facebook and everything. But I was in Paranoia Magazine interviewing him. What's that guy's name? Mike Patton or something. I can't remember his name. But he has that. I don't think he still has that magazine. But I know I'm at Andy's Books with Jim, that interview. So it's just bad. There's so many I can't even keep up anymore. It's just crazy. Well, first off, I want you to say the Dimensions author, Jacques Vallee, his name. Say it the correct way because I always mess it up.
Jacques Vallee.
Jacques Vallee.
Jacques Vallee. Yes, indeed. Okay.
I won't say it anymore, no. But Jacques Vallee, gotcha.
Yeah, I've been negotiating primarily with his editor at Anomalous Books, Patrick. I haven't actually met Jacques, but maybe sometime, hopefully.
That would be cool. I know he's just on Paracast. I don't really listen to them. but I know he was just on there. I just saw that he had been on there, which I think you have to like pay or something to even listen to it. I don't even know. But we have a sorted past with them because of the David Biedney interview a long time ago, so I don't really listen to them. We don't have to get into that. But I know you've done stuff with Andrew Colvin. Me too. He made me a transcriptionist slave at one point. John Keel.
It was just a really happy coincidence with Andy. I was on Facebook. I had just started out doing audiobooks, and there was Andy. He was writing in a field that really interested me. So I contacted him and said, do you have any books that you would like to have in audio? Because it's no cost to you under the terms of the ACX Audible arrangement. And he said, not really. His books weren't really suitable for audio, but he had the literary estate of John Keel. And I jumped up and down. And those books that we've done together have really been successful.
Cool.
Particularly the book that Andy edited and compiled called Flying Saucer to the Center of Your Mind. That's been a really good seller, and some of the other Keels as well. So it's been a very positive experience for me, and hopefully for Andy too. I know we've made some money, so.
Cool. I'll have to check out that one. I don't think I have a bunch of those books, but I don't think I have that one. That one came out not too long ago, right? Or not too long.
That was the first one we did. It came out about 5 years ago. So
I may have it. I just have to like dig through and look.
Yeah, I'm sure you have it. Did you guys see the Hellier series on TV?
I had been coming so close to watching it, never got around to it, sort of thing. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that book is figures into the series. Because Andy put a copy of the secret cipher of the Ufonauts in it.
Mm.
And that was really important for the researchers of that documentary series.
Oh, okay. That was the Flying Saucer in Your Head book?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. I probably have that one for sure. It's just
I'm not
near my books right now, so I'm separated. We're separated right now, me and my books.
You don't have the audiobook, contact me, PM me, and I'll send you some.
Cool. Yeah, I don't have that one. I'll definitely do that. Mm-hmm. And then me and Andy did, I don't know if you've seen Praise for the Hairy Man, The Secret Life of Bigfoot.
I have not seen that, but I've seen all of the Mothman books. So, but I'll look into that one.
And then there's also Probes Happen and Probes Happen Again. It's just mostly written interviews with people from the field and stuff. And he transcribed it and went through it. There's also another good one that's Shamans. It's like So You Want to Be a Shaman? Mm-hmm. And it's just interviews with like medicine people from all over. Just a bunch of written interviews, and he kind of tightened them up and, edited them. Yeah. And there's some transcripts from the show of when he's been on the show, too, in them. Those are a pain in the ass to listen to, and then you got to type them out. I put my hand through a door during some of those, which that's not something I normally do, hit stuff. But that transcribing when you have to listen, oh, man, that can get crazy. I don't like it, for sure. It's rough.
Yeah, it is.
So,
professionally.
What'd you do it for?
Lawyers for years and years and years.
Okay, yeah. And then pot, and that's not usually a good mix. You might think it is, but it's not. Not for me, anyway. But when it comes to Dimensions, how'd you score that? That's a big score.
Well, you know Mike Cleland. By any chance?
I'm familiar with him, yes.
Okay, I did a book with Mike called Messengers, and it was a beautiful book. I loved doing it, and I said, I would really like to do a Jacques Vallée book. And he said, you'd be perfect. So he said, contact Patrick at Anomalous Books. So I did. And we were able to hammer out a deal. It went back and forth. But terms we could both live with. And then I just got to work and produce the book. So it was a very good book. I'm particularly interested in his ultra-dimensional, extra-dimensional thesis in the book. It harkens back to Kiel and his window areas, and all of the folklore that is sort of connected to it down through the ages. I just really liked the book very much. It's a different kind of writing than Kiel's. It's a bit drier, but he does tell good stories. So Kiel had such a delicious voice. You know, he had a real sense of humor, that guy.
And I saw Skylar had some photographs with Kiel. She's hanging out with him and stuff. I saw that on her page. I know Andy has some too, and I know there's some documentary or something Andy made with a bunch of discs. I have that with John Kiel.
Well, she is in the acknowledgments of Flying Saucer to the Center of Your Mind, and so are you.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Good to know for sure. Mm-hmm. And the thing about Dimensions, and I have all those books. Mm-hmm. Tell us what you love about Dimensions.
I loved all the stories. I loved the way he connected certain miracles and visions of the past to our current understanding of the UFO phenomena, the UFO mystery. And really, I am quite taken with that idea. Again, I'm pretty much a skeptic when it comes to paranormal. I don't believe in it, but I don't disbelieve either. I have an open mind. So that really made sense to me in the book. And so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed his personal story. He does give kind of an overview of his personal evolution as a paranormal investigator. He had so many stories from France, which I had never heard. So I think the listeners who do seek out the book will hear stories that they don't know and have never heard of before. Since I think, you know, we've all heard the stories of Travis Walton and the various abductions and the hills and all of that here, and those are covered. But you'll also hear about French witnesses and French events that you probably haven't heard of before. It's really cool.
Isn't that like a trilogy of books too or something? And they're like a trilogy?
Yes, there is a trilogy. And this is the first one in the book, in the trilogy. I haven't contracted with Jacques for the second two books in the trilogy, but the book is selling very well. We've already sold 400 units of it in the first month. That's an excellent, excellent showing for the first month. So I'm convinced that the next two volumes will follow.
That'll be awesome for sure. And who's voicing? Is it you? Is it someone else? Who's doing the? You're doing the voice?
Yep, I am. Ooh. Mm-hmm. So at In Arcadia Audio was kind of a fun story too. I was living in Arcadia, California when I started the company, and your listeners may recognize it from the Da Vinci Code. Et in Arcadia ego, and I am in Arcadia is what it means. It's part of the Priory de Sion conspiracy theory, the René Lachateau conspiracy theory that Dan Brown was writing about in that book. And I just thought, what a perfect thing. The logo that I have has two hands pointing toward the cutout of Et in Arcadia audio, just like the Nicolas Poussin painting of the Shepherds of Arcadia. So anyway, that's the reason I named it that.
What I want to know about the infamous French scientist that the Dimensions was written by is he went to Skinwalker Ranch with old Robert Bigelow.
He sure did.
Oh my God. Well, the only thing you would know, even if you knew, was that he went. Other than that, we don't know anything else. That's how Robert Bigelow works. That's why I don't like Robert Bigelow. But nonetheless, he went there and, you know, had to sign a waiver and all that crap. And we don't know anything. So who knows? That'd be something that'd be really interesting to know. Go ahead.
No, have you watched any of the History Channel series on Skinwalker?
I've watched the first season, but I have not watched the second yet. But I mean, it's pretty interesting. There's some weird stuff. Radiation burns. You're like, are these dudes going to die during the show? It's like crazy stuff going on there. And I think it's really happening. Crazy. They're really getting radiated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you saw in the news recently, just in the last day or two, there was an earthquake in Peru or somewhere in South America. And the earthquake lights were going off like fireworks. Just amazing. Anyway, check that out if you can. Because I think that earth movement and earth pressure and magnetic fields have a lot to do with paranormal phenomena.
Yeah, definitely. There's one guy I've been listening to on YouTube. I think his name's like Paul Golden Eagle or White Golden Eagle or something. But every day he does like these, I don't know if they're channelings or transmissions or something, but he talks about all the activity. But then he kind of throws some light worker stuff in there, which usually I don't pay attention to. But the way he does it is kind of compelling, the way he says it and stuff. But and he wears like a headdress. I don't know where he's from, but it's pretty interesting. But he keeps up with a lot of the activity that's going on and says, you know, those are earth changes and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely pretty fascinating.
Sorry.
It's okay. No problem.
I just looked this up. Hold on. If you're interested in those earth lights, they actually have video of them.
Right.
I don't know if
those were the ones
right there. So you see the flashes in the background?
Yeah. They're blue.
It was in Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. Okay.
A couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And they had a 7.0 earthquake and then these blue lights. Look at that. Can you see the flash?
Yeah, I see it.
And that was wild.
The big thing, everyone, they keep saying, we're going to the fifth dimension. Fifth dimension, brother. That's right. We're going to heaven.
I just had my volume way up, and so you were hearing the Spanish of the news podcast.
Yeah. No, that's okay, Wayne. That's fine. No, and those were exactly the videos I was talking about.
I'll have to look them up for sure and check it out and look into it more. And one funny thing that guy says, he calls people Thor bros. Hey, Thor bros. But then he said something about Scandemic. I said, oh, no, he's probably a Trumple Gooch. But he hasn't really alluded that he is. But when you say that, Scandemic, that's usually a bad sign that you may be a Trumple Gooch, which maybe that's not true for it all. But
yeah, that's
maybe. Probably is.
I don't get it, Jeffrey. I just don't get it.
It's crazy. And the things, I'm in Florida right now, and it's a horror movie. I mean, it is a horror movie continuously. I think like 2,000 people died this week. 200,000 infected, like crazy, like daily or something. Like those crazy, crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And it, all of a sudden, it just hit us. The fourth wave, it just boom. And there we were.
You know. Well, it's been gathering momentum for a while. It's not like people haven't been warning us.
Right.
You know? Right. I mean, here in New York, we are all down to wearing masks everywhere again. I mean, you know.
We're doing that in Minnesota, too.
I mean, people are really, really tired here in New York, but they're doing it. They're doing it.
Yeah.
And we have 76% people vaccinated. So,
are you in New York City, Wim?
No, I'm in the Mid-Hudson Valley.
Okay.
But, I mean, we are having Delta variant issues, but because we have a higher rate of vaccination, we're not having the death rates that a lot of other people are having. I mean, I was exposed to the Delta variant in the middle of, what was it? It was in the middle of July. And had 3 days of very minor illness.
Okay.
Very minor. So. Yeah.
I don't fear it like I did before I was vaccinated. I was really scared of it. Multiple comorbidities, you know, so.
Yeah.
And.
I just understand. I'm like you guys. I just don't get this. You know, I'm completely. I'm completely okay with federal mandates because if you look historically, we've done this in the past.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no, it's just no reason not to do it. It's public health.
I remember the swine flu injections back in the 70s when we all went to the, you know, I think in my hometown, we went to City Hall to get the injections and the line was around the block.
Well, I also remember the first MMR. I was vaccinated against rubella and the measles and, you know, all of that stuff. And I can remember when they came out with the new MMR booster, it was like in the late 60s. And I mean, we all lined up. I was a kid and we all just lined up. It's like, you just do this. You do this for public health, you know?
Right. Right. It's unbelievable, the conspiracy theories, you
know? I know.
And frankly, I'm all for a good conspiracy theory, but this isn't one of them. I plan to do more conspiracy theory in publish them through my imprint, but it's going to be deep state conspiracy, CIA conspiracy, MK Ultra conspiracy, that kind of thing.
Real stuff.
Yeah.
Real conspiracy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you gonna have Ed Kemper read any of your books?
Kemper?
Ed Kemper, oh, you know that is.
No. I mean, he can read for the blind if he wants to.
That always creeped me out, and I had never heard of him until I saw some like hour or some movie thing on him, and it was terrifying. Yeah. And I was like, that dude reads audiobooks too. That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy for sure. Do you have other people you're going to use to do the audio, or is it going to be is it just you? Which is fine. Eventually, I'm just wondering.
No, eventually I'm going to have I'm going to get, you know, I'm growing. I've already used a female narrator in one of the Steiger books, Christmas Miracles. And the reason why is because they were co-written by a wife and husband team. And I just figured that, you know, what better way to honor the authors than to have a male and female voice narrating the book? And it worked really well, I felt. It got rave reviews. And so eventually I'm going to just license books and have auditions and hire people to do them.
Cool. And I know, Brad, I was in New Dawn Magazine interviewing him, too, before, and there were several times. I don't think he ever got to come on the show because of weird scheduling and stuff, but there was several written interviews, and that was a sad one as well. What book of his did you do?
I've done three of his books, Real Encounters. It's got a weird title. I call it Real Encounters, but then it has a couple other things in the title. It's very much in the John Keel, Jacques Vallée vein, dealing with ultra-terrestrials, extra-dimensionals, all kinds of phenomena showing up in there. That's been a really good seller. Then I also did Revelation, which came out when I was in high school, and I fell in love with that book, and that was pretty much a labor of love. Don't do a labor of love and expect to make money. I mean, it sells one or two copies a month, which maybe it'll make back its advance at some point. It's a really good book. It may be a little dated because some of the people that he talked to are long since gone. But the core of it, the substance of it, is still eternally true. And particularly when he starts talking about the religious experience, you know, the experience of having cosmic consciousness, an ecstatic revelation of wisdom from the, what, you know, from elsewhere. So it's really good, and it just makes so much sense. I love that book.
Yeah, he's got some good ones. I have several of his. I know there's some Native American, some Native American ones he put out. Those are really good.
That's my next thing. I want to do those Native American magic books.
Awesome.
I really want to do those. And also the Hawaiian magic books.
Oh, cool. I don't have that one. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
He did so many books.
180.
Gosh, you got that Nick Redfern mojo going or something. Mm-hmm. Pumping it out like a Terminator.
Yeah. Well, by the time I met him or contracted with him, I knew him from years ago. I went to school with his kids. He knew me and was delighted with working with me. Anyway, where was I going with that? I don't remember.
I was making a noise at the bulldogs to make sure I didn't bark if you heard me. It wasn't me blowing kisses to anyone. I was like,
okay.
But oh, no, you were talking about the Hawaiian book and the Native books.
Yeah, the Hawaiian books, the Kahuna books. He was really into that. He was really into Aboriginal magic. I don't know if you knew this, but he did the Sundance back in the 70s. The Sundance with the Sioux. So basically it's a long process. It's a shaman initiation is what it is, really. You starve, you take some medicine, and eventually they put hooks through your pectoral flesh.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that, yeah.
And then you dance until you can break away.
They have that in Ripley's. I went to that Ripley's Museum, and they have like a wax weird thing of an Indian doing that. It's really, really weird. And they also had like a wolf girl that would look Native or something. They called her Wolf Girl or something like that.
Yeah.
Huna is very interesting. I've interviewed Serge Kahale King before, and he has a lot of good books on that, Urban Shaman. He has so many. There's a bunch I need to get that I've missed, but it was interesting. I always found the Hawaiian aspect pretty interesting. It's definitely healthy to read about. It helps you a lot.
There's absolutely
something to it. And,
you know, it does expand the consciousness to read about this stuff.
Exactly. It was funny, but not really. When I was interviewing him, I got struck by lightning on the phone, and it was terrifying. Lightning came, hit the ground in front of the house, and it went through the phone lines, and I was like, oh my God. And luckily I had plastic, and he goes, that's a sign of great power. And we were happy I didn't die. Of course, I was happy I didn't die, but it scared the living crap out of me. And I was interviewing this guy during it. That's when Guy was on the show and everything, and it was definitely a trip. But I need to dig more into his stuff. I know he has some I've missed and things like that. What are some of your other dream books that you want to do audio for that you like to think about a lot?
I'm gonna risk here because I know the books that I want to do that aren't in audio, and maybe it'll give someone an idea. But here they are. I want to do the biography of Aleister Crowley that Dr. Kaczynski did, called Perdurabo.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Okay.
I want to do that. It's really long, but I think it would sell. And there's nothing about Aleister Crowley out there that's anywhere near that kind of scholarship. Another one I want to do is by Martin Lee. He was a reporter for one of the San Francisco papers. He wrote a book called The Beast Reawakens. It was a history of the neo-Nazi movement in the United States. It goes up to about 1995 when the book came out, but he lays it out. I mean, basically, the neo-Nazis are a religion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they have,
absolutely.
And they
that's what I argued. I've been arguing that for years.
And they have a sort of ordination where they pass on the wisdom by laying on of hands. It's the weirdest thing. It just gives you chills. Anyway, I want to do that book.
What book is that again? One more time.
The Beast Reawakens by Martin Lee. I want to do Peter Lavenda's books. I want to do,
That would be fabulous. Are you including his Lovecraftian novels in that?
I would do those in a heartbeat if you wanted to. But mostly, I want to do his trilogy.
The Sinister Forces. Yeah.
Yeah, and also maybe Unholy Alliance.
Well, the one that he wrote about Kenneth Grant and Lovecraft and Crowley, The Dark God, whatever that one is.
Okay, I think I've got it on my shelf. I haven't read it yet.
That is an amazing book. That is cool. it's like if you know, for people who don't get Crowley for whatever reason, he probably does the best summation of Crowley I've ever read. And then uses that as sort of the backdrop for talking about how Kenneth Grant sort of took Crowley and took Lovecraft and created his Typhonian current. It's really, really interesting.
Okay.
It's really interesting.
You told me, Lam. Next really on my list. So those are the kind of books that I want to do. I want to get in. You know, I do specialize in nonfiction. I have done novels. More as a work for hire kind of thing. I'm doing a romance series right now, which is fabulous. It's for a friend of mine who is a New York Times or USA Today bestselling author. So those are kind of the areas that I want to go. There are a few CIA books that I'd like to do. I'd like to do true crime. And that's another one that I would love to do is The 3 Month Fever, the Andrew Cunanan book by Gary Indiana. That one needs to be in audio.
Well, if I can put you on the spot, since Jeffrey forgot, I wrote this book. Mysterious Beauty, Living with the Paranormal in the Hudson Valley. It got rave reviews by Kirkus. Kirkus liked it very much. It's not terribly long. It's a little over 200 pages long. It's not terribly long, but it's full of stories. And it takes an approach that's very much like Valley and Kiel. They're sort of the backdrop, what I do. And I go into I go way back in history, including indigenous approaches to what we would call paranormal phenomena today. It's sort of a historical overview in the first part, and then the second part are individual experiencers and researchers who recount their particular kinds of experiences. And it's a broad range. It's like a survey book. So it goes, does UFOs, ghosts, cryptids, the whole nine yards.
Big hairy monsters.
Oh yeah, all of that. But it places it within a kind of a geographical and regional and historical context.
That's all Keel right there, the geographical.
Right, yeah. But it's done pretty well. I mean, I published it right before, it was right towards the end of 2019, you know, when COVID hit, you know, right before COVID hit. So it was pretty difficult for me to go out and like promote it, you know what I mean? But that being said, it was sold pretty well because it got good reviews. So
can you get in touch with me?
Absolutely.
Facebook or Jeffrey has my messenger handle. He could maybe give that to you.
Either that or your email. I mean, I'm willing to just send you a PDF of it if you want.
Sure, that'd be great.
Be a good one for your company, for sure.
Yeah.
And
if I put my email in private chat, can...
Yeah, that would be great if you can do it. Yeah, go do that.
Send it to me and I'll send it to her. I'll tell you another good one that would be good for you to do, and I don't know if you could score this one. It's that Artie Clark's Native Encounters. You know, she's anomalous books, but the thing that's so weird about that book is I have a copy, thank God, but I looked that book up and it's going for like $200 now for some crazy reason. Like, he's not printing anymore. It's a very popular book, so I don't know, everywhere it's like $200, but I don't know if you're familiar with Artie Clark, but she's got a lot of really good native lady, traveled to tribes and got UFO stories, but she has the first book she wrote about the Native American star people encounters. And for some reason, that book is insane expensive everywhere now.
Yeah, her name is Artie Sixkiller Clark. And if you can do any of her, if you can only do one of her books, I mean, she's got four books out. They're all fabulous. You can only do one of them. Do the one about Mexican and Central American
sky people.
Yeah, that one is extraordinary. It's one of the best books on UFOs I've ever read.
Lady has balls of steel. She just travels to South America and goes to all these tribe people and gathers these crazy, they're not really crazy, but some of them are nuts, but they're not because I don't believe it. They're just weird, like blue giants coming down and stealing women
from American.
Yeah, they're really weird, but they're good. But she's a good one to look into if you ever talk to Patrick or whatever. Is Anomalous still putting out stuff? They seem kind of like quiet from what I've seen.
Well, I've been in contact with Patrick several times, multiple times, dozens of times. So he's still around.
I'm just making sure no one's kicked it. I haven't heard anything from him in a while.
Hold on. Let me just check her stuff real quick. I mean, I've got places to check. Hold on just a minute. Artie Sixkiller Clark.
Go ahead.
I mean, she's one of those people I'd love to talk to again. Oh my God, she was so interesting.
I'll write her sometime. And see what's up. Okay. There's a UFO Hudson Valley little TV show that was on Travel Channel or Discovery. It's on Discovery Plus, but I haven't seen it yet. But it's a whole UFO segment on Hudson Valley. I need to watch it.
I'll tell you, it sucks.
Oh, does it? You saw it?
Yeah, well, I've seen parts of it. I know the background to how it was put together, because when the TV production company was putting it together, they basically gave themselves only 2 weeks to come out here and shoot in the Hudson Valley, and that's not enough time to figure out anything. And they did it in the middle of COVID, when there were all of these restrictions in New York. And their ability to even travel was very limited. They didn't bother calling me or Linda Zimmerman, who is probably the best known investigator here. They didn't even bother calling us until like 2 or 3 days before they were going to leave. And they wanted us to just drop everything we were doing, show up with like two abductees apiece in tow somehow, that we just, you know what I mean? While they did get a hold of a few people in Pine Bush to talk to, all of the sequences that they show are rehearsed. There's nothing of substance. It's shock TV is what it is. It's really not very good. There's no historical context given for anything, you know, and in the Hudson Valley, the locations where things are said to occur, especially repetitively, are absolutely linked to geography and history.
Yeah.
And if you do not have that, you do not understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just that way, you know. So it sucks. You can watch it just to see how bad it sucks.
I probably won't. I know I saw a weird segment on called On Paranormal, which is kind of fun to watch. I mean, I don't know if all those are true, but there's some interesting videos on it. But there was this guy, this rancher, he got video. He was walking down a trail with his horse, and something goes, "Hey." And it kept saying it, and he got it, but he talked to a medicine man. They thought it was a skinwalker or something. It was in Utah, but it was weird because it would say something, and it was like it was trying to lure you off the trail. And he got pretty compelling video audio of it, but didn't see anything. But for some reason, it was just creepy, the hey, and it was just out in the woods from nowhere. But what I was going to ask you, Wham, do they normally do that, like try to do some weird like audio to try to get you to come out or something, like into the woods deeper?
There have been occasions of that, yes. I mean, I do talk, like in my book, I do talk about, I'll just give several examples. I do talk about how Gail Beatty, who works, who is the main Bigfoot researcher here, how she has gone out to investigate places where Bigfoot, like, or whatever, like things like that have been reported. And she's taken equipment out in the field that they use that ghost hunters use, you know, for various things. And she's got an EVP out in the middle of nowhere looking for Bigfoot. And so sometimes there will be, she's had the experience where just all of a sudden out of the box, somebody will call her name or a friend's name or say these weird phrases. In Pine Bush, people have reported some experiences like that, especially during the 1980s, sort of at the height of what was going on there. There's a guy, in fact, who I interview in the book, who is kind of the archivist, if you will, of Pine Bush. He's been working with a guy who has gotten some really interesting footage and photos, who has had that experience where he's gone out to like see what he can get, and he's heard his name called from like fields and stuff. So, and then there's other people who've had experiences with like little people, you know, whatever that means, you know, where they
lots of stories in the of those entities, right, in the books I've narrated.
Right. So yeah, I mean, you know, either yelling your name or yelling something, you know, or saying something, you know. And that's also a real common haunting thing, you know, this haunted gym that I talk about in the book, that things are still going on there. Like right now, I was talking to the owner like 2 days ago. He will have occasionally, he'll hear, you know, someone calling his name or someone talking upstairs, you know what I mean? So those are not uncommon manifestations, the voices just sort of out there, you know.
They don't eat you though or anything, right? I mean, if you go out there, what happens?
That I do not know. I cannot tell you what happens with that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and my friend at the gym, nothing bad has ever happened with him. So, in fact, whatever that is seems to be harmless. Mischievous, but harmless. It likes to pester people, but it doesn't seem to be harmful in any way.
Notice me.
Yeah, exactly.
The wood one would be scarier for sure to me.
Absolutely. Well, and I it seems to know when cameras are on it, which is really interesting. It's really interesting. So
I'm not sure about that. I'm thinking, you know, that there is this sense in the universe of wanting to be observed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely fascinating.
In fact, the last thing that he got before he got so unnerved that he turned the CCTV cameras off upstairs, because most of the phenomena is like upstairs. He's got like a 2-level gym, and this happened just like literally like 4 weeks ago, and he showed me the video of it, because he's got the CCTV cameras connected to his phone. So every time one of them goes off, his phone, he gets a notification on his phone. So what happened was, this happened during the day. It was like 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. And he was in the gym by himself, and he was right at the foot of the stairs where you go up, and then there's this yoga room, and that's where a lot of the activity occurs, is right around in that yoga room. And so you go right up the stairs, and then you go into the yoga room. But he was down right at the bottom of the stairs cleaning, and he kept getting the cameras were on. He kept getting this notice that the cameras were being activated, and he was just right downstairs. So he like ran up the stairs and looked in there, and like nobody was there in that room, and nobody was upstairs. So he came back, and he kept getting these notices, and finally he just like flipped on his and he looked, and he's like right at the bottom of the stairs, and what the camera is recording, and I've seen the recording, is you see this shadow, but it's transparent. You can actually see like parts of the door through it, and the shadow leans out, you can see a head look both ways, and then leans out like this. It's just a silhouette. There's no features. It looks like semi-solid smoke is what it looks like. And you can actually see like a place where a hand would be, and you can see like the side of the door through it. And he watched this, and he realized it was right up there. And he just went, "I'm leaving now." He just left. He just like walked right out of the gym. He's like, this is his gym. And he said, "I'm leaving, and I'm going to take a walk, and I'm going to come back in 20 minutes, and you better be gone." That's what he did. And so that's what he did. And so when he came back, he turned off the cameras because he just didn't want to know.
Probably a good idea.
It's really clear.
Wham, what's on your shirt? I'm trying to figure it out.
Oh, this is a stylized rendering of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
That's cool.
Of Santa Muerte. You know, it's a combination of Our Lady of Guadalupe and Santa Muerte. You know who Santa Muerte is in Mexico?
Yes.
Gone to death. And this artwork was, it says, I loved for exactly who I am. And this is a piece of artwork that was commissioned by the Order of the Good Death. The Order of the Good Death is an organization I belong to, and it's was founded by a woman who is a mortician, a funeral director in Los Angeles. And it is her goal to transform death and post-death rituals in the United States, because she believes that we are too afraid of death, and we need to be more accepting of death, and so on and so forth. So, but they commissioned this t-shirt as a fundraiser.
That's really cool. Yeah. I was making sure it wasn't a weird comic I missed or something.
No. <That's cool. laughs> It just shows like a Sacred Heart here. And so
that's really neat.
Combo.
That's really neat for sure. And So I know, Mike, you said you're kind of skeptical or paranormal, but open-minded. You just try to be careful, right?
I'm not an experiencer. I mean, I had one very odd experience in...
Tell us, please.
Okay. Well, one of the things I noticed in a couple of the books I narrated is that a lot of paranormal experiences occur when you're going through large life changes. And in this case, I was moving from LA to Minnesota, and I was driving up the 15 towards Las Vegas, and I saw high up in the sky, this was a daylight sighting, a sphere, a metallic sphere. That wasn't necessarily enough, but then I felt this incredible sensation of being observed. And it was unlike anything I'd ever experienced, and I've never experienced it again, but it was an intense feeling of being observed. It's interesting that there is a story that's very similar to that in Dimensions. I paid attention to that.
You're reminding me of a story by Ted Rowe, a friend of mine, and he, NARCAP, I think, is his UFO thing. But I think it was in the Mojave Desert. I'd have to re-ask him. But he was out there with a friend, I believe, and like eight grays took them. And this dude is a straight shooter. Totally, like, I couldn't even, you know, he's just really cool and, I mean, a good dude. And, I mean, I definitely believe it, even though it's, you know, it sounds like a lot. But I definitely think it happened. But when you were telling me that, I mean, who's to say that's not what was observing you? I don't know. But that's what it reminded me of, for sure. Well, so you're going to be lucky, I mean, that you didn't get taken by some craziness.
Exactly. And I've never felt that I've ever been abducted or have ever had that experience. However, that sphere disappeared. It vanished. And the sensation of being observed went away pretty quickly. But I got the sensation that I wasn't the candidate for whatever they had in mind.
they were just checking you out. They were
Next.
I think I feel that way too with some of mine, because it's like I haven't had any in a long time, but for a while they were definitely checking me out. I had UFOs over my house with multiple witnesses. I saw weird beings, but I don't remember ever being taken or anything. So unless it was like they say it can happen astrally or something, maybe, I don't know, but I know I've seen enough weird crap that something happened. But as far as being taken, if so, they mind wiped the crap out of me, because I don't remember anything. I had something when I did DMT that was kind of like me laying on a table with grays, but I don't know if that was a past memory or just like the DMT. So I don't know. That's just it. But I've had some weird stuff and seen an assortment of weird beings. So there's definitely something. But lately, it's like there's been stuff here that's more like weird ghost, creepy stuff, like the Conjuring movie happening at this house. And I'm not used to, I don't even really like ghost stuff that much. I usually say they're boring. So that's probably why it's happening to me. Like, we'll show you boring. But there's been some crazy stuff here that I don't understand, but it's been a little bit better, but still some weird stuff. But as far as throwing you back, that's funny, because it is kind of like they're fishing and then they catch you and say, ew.
Exactly. That's what it felt like.
Ooh, skeptic. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, one thing.
Let me put it this way. I'm a Fordian. I collect evidence. I observe evidence and I go, you know, that's odd. Let's see some more. Let's get it together and compile it. And preponderance of evidence seems to indicate that something strange is happening.
Yes. Well, see, then you're just more you're skeptical at your approach, but you have an open mind, and I think you. Here's the big thing that I say to people. Oh, go ahead.
Just to follow up on that, and to clarify things, I am not a true believer in the extraterrestrial thesis.
Yay!
I think there may be extraterrestrials flying around our skies, but that's not the majority of what we're seeing.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure you would say that there probably are folks in other places of the universe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, but that doesn't mean that they're all right here.
Well, one of the big school of thoughts, and I've seen weird alien stuff like beings, but one of the big thoughts is a lot of this technology is foreign nations who've had this stuff longer than we imagine, and they're keeping it under the curtain, so to speak. So I think there's truth to that. But I have seen some weird things. Like I've seen beings of light many times with my physical eyes, completely sober. And then another weird alien one I've seen of these little cloaked beings around a black box. And they were small and had cloaks, couldn't see their face. And a friend saw it with me. Yeah, we had been partying hard. And we both saw it, though, and a cat jumped towards them and they vanished. And during that time, I'd been reading Celtic stuff on like wee folk and little people and weird stuff like that, like Celtic kind of stuff, but the other world. So I've seen stuff like that. But as far as the paranormal, though, I guess my big thing is with it, the reason why I do it is because, well, I've seen weird stuff. But another reason, it's kind of like trying to figure out what happens when you croak, too. That's what it's for me. You're trying to kind of get a blueprint of what the hell, you know, is going to happen when you croak. Because are these things going to be, you know, lurking around when you're dead? You're going to see these aliens and stuff. But that's kind of my biggest evidence for paranormal. Because when you croak, you're... ass is getting ejected into the paranormal. Well, you might have a different belief system that, you know, maybe nothing. I don't know. I don't subscribe to that one, but to each their own. But it gets weird with that with Bigfoot stuff. I've been almost threatened to be beat up and killed because I thought Bigfoot was paranormal by some of those Bigfoot freaks out there.
Yes.
Paranormal? I'll kill you, boy. Mm-hmm. I'll beat you up at your house. I've had them say that. Of course, I probably acted on a little, but
there's a wonderful story in one of the Keel books that I did where Keel is talking about big hairy monsters and how there would be deposits of silicone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so the implication was is that they are manifesting themselves using these materials and then disappearing, leaving the materials behind.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Silicon. What? How does that work? That's...
It's sand. Sand. Silica, maybe.
Silica. Yeah.
Well, that's like those little hooded beings I saw. They had a black box there, and I asked people what they think that is, and it sounds like some kind of technology that may make them transverse realms or something, or recorder or something weird like that. That's always been the question, is what the hell was that little black box? The Hellraiser box. It was black. It was black. The box of lamentations. But it was like this little black box. I don't know. It's weird. Some of the creepiest stuff I've heard about some of this paranormal stuff is from like Bill J. Bean, this spiritual warfare minister that's been on Coast to Coast. He said, and you may not agree, that's fine, and I don't know if I do, but that Satan like has these aliens and they create all these chimeras like in some crazy lab, and that's what some of these crazy things are. They're like experimental, crazy, like Dr. Satan from Rob Zombie, you know, experiments out there. Yeah. That's a creepy one. I mean, even from a horror angle, that's pretty wild. But who knows? As for so many theories and everything. And what one thing I want to ask you, do you have a link? What's the main link for your site? Let's give that out during this a few times for sure.
Okay. So the audiobook is through Audible, audible.com. Right now, I have an Audible exclusive, so it's only available through Audible, the Audible site, the Amazon site, and iTunes. Later on, I'm going to pull it down from the exclusivity and put it out there so that it can go into libraries and you'll be able to get it at Barnes & Noble and Find Away Voices and other places. But for now, just go to the Amazon site for Dimensions by Jacques Vallée, and there will be a link right there for the audiobook.
And are you sticking with mostly like these kind of subjects, or is there, I mean, you do conspiracy too. You ever going to do horror or anything like that? Or are you just sticking with certain genres?
Well, I've already done horror as work for hire through, I am a member of the Horror Writers Association. And,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm published. But anyway, the president at the time, Lisa Morton, and I collaborated on one of her books. And I really think she's going places. It was a good book. It's called, I'm spacing on the name.
It happens. Is that the book you wrote for? That's the book you're talking about?
No, she wrote it. Lisa Morton wrote it. We had been published together in an anthology, but I knew her in L.A. and we were very friendly and cordial to each other. Malediction is its name. It's good. It's she is a regional writer. She only writes about L.A. and Southern California. It's good.
Cool. What's your book? You have a book too? It's horror.
Yeah, I'm doing an anthology or a collection of short stories right now. I'm having it edited and it will be out later this year. I'm going to do an audiobook. I'm going to have all of my friends reading stories from it. It's going to be great.
Cool. And so it's not out yet.
No, it's not out. It's in the process. It's very close, but not yet.
Cool. Well, keep me up to date. I'm a horror nerd. I enjoy horror tremendously. Horror writers.
Jeffrey, I will let you know.
Your pig is squealing, Jeffrey. Your pig is squealing.
I know. That pig is driving me nuts lately. It's a mini pig.
Uh huh.
And they're good most of the time, but not really.
I saw a trailer for a Nicolas Cage movie called Pig. Yeah.
Yeah. It was not the best ending, but it was not what I liked. Yeah. It was a good movie, but sad. Okay. Sad.
I could tell it was not going to be up to
anything. Have you seen him in that movie, Willy's Wonderland?
I have not. I have seen a couple of the movies he did last year. I saw Color Out of Space, which was brilliant. I got Shudder just so I could see that. And then also, what's the other one that he did that's really strange?
Mandy,
that's it. Mandy.
That one's crazy. Willy's Wonderland's kind of stupid, but it's fun to watch. He doesn't say one word during it, but all these animatronics come alive in this pizza place and take sacrifices. Like these serial killers become animatronics, and he has to like kill them.
I heard about that.
It's on Hulu, I think.
I'll look it up. Yeah, Hulu. I got Hulu with my my new phone plan. So.
Oh well, I have to recommend some stuff.
Yes, please.
There's a pig squealing. Hopefully, it stops. It's going to go outside in a minute. But What We Do in the Shadows? Have you seen it?
I have not. I've seen trailers for it. I want to see it. There's just so much.
You need to do What We Do in the Shadows. You can't. Don't let it detour you. Don't let anything. There's a movie. I don't know if the movie's on there, but the movie's hilarious. Then there's a series.
Now, the movie has Tilda Swinton in it, right?
Yeah. No, that's something else. You're thinking of Only Lovers Left Alive by Jim Jarmusch. That's pretty good, too. That's worth watching. That's on Amazon Prime. I don't know if it's on Hulu. Okay. But What We Do in the Shadows, it was a movie first. Now it's a series, but the movie is about all these vampires that live in a house together, and it's like a reality show, but it's funny. And it's by that, I always have trouble saying this dude's name. He's the New Zealand guy, Takahiti Wakiti, or whatever, you know who I'm talking about. And I'm sure I probably did not say that right, but
close.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. He's in Free Guy. He's excellent.
He's a villain in there. I need to see that.
It's a classic. It's every frame is right there. It just pops.
I want to see that. I'll have to check it out. But he also did Thor Ragnarok, like the third one. Oh, I don't know if that was right. Yeah, it was Ragnarok. He's doing another Thor. He's in The Mandalorian, directed, and he was also the robot in The Mandalorian. I forget the bounty hunter, weird, thin robot that's at the beginning in the episodes. But here's another show. Wellington Paranormal is a spinoff of What We Do in the Shadows. And it airs on New Zealand TV. It's about the cops from What We Do in the Shadows, and they go to different cases, and there's aliens. It's silly, but it's funny. It's fun to watch. They're short, like 30 minutes. But Wellington Paranormal, What We Do in the Shadows. One more show on Hulu that he did, and he did it with another guy. And Wham would probably like this show. She would like What We Do in the Shadows, but he did Reservation Dogs. Reservation Dogs is about these native kids on the res, and they kind of like, it's kind of like Reservoir Dogs from Tarantino, but not as violent. It's funny. Wes Studi was in it, that dude from Last of the Mohicans, a lot of famous native actors. The last episode had a Bigfoot in it.
Wow.
Actually, well done. Okay.
So.
But yeah, it's funny. They're 30 minutes apiece, and I love it. It's really good.
I've seen trailers again. I see trailers for everything.
There's a funny fry bread rap song in it about fry bread, and all these natives are dancing about greasy fry bread. Mm-hmm. But it's really funny. Six episodes right now. It's worth seeing for sure. What We Do in the Shadows, I'm about to watch that after the show, the third episode. I'm hooked. It's on the third season. The thing is, it's like Addams Family or the Monsters, but more extreme for sure. But, well, I'm sure I won't be saying that after the Rob Zombie Monsters. I'm not really sure how that's going to work out, but I'm concerned a little. But I like Rob Zombie. I think he could do it. But it's still a little concerning on some levels how he's going to do it, because that's kind of a rough one to do. I know, Brian Fuller that did Hannibal was going to try to do that monster show once, and it flopped somehow. The pilot didn't do well. And I know Eddie Izzard was in that one, like the pilot. That's the dude, the comedian. I think he's British, and dresses like a chick and stuff. But he was in. He was one of the characters in that. I haven't seen that one, but it only lasted like one pilot. So I know the pilot floats around somewhere. But it was called Mockingbird Lane or something. But now Rob Zombie's doing. I guess what concerns me about Rob Zombie, his wife's gonna be the main. Like he always does that, no matter what. So hopefully it's good. I think he could pull it off. But. Definitely worth checking out. It's hard to find shows like that, like Addams Family and Monsters, and now What We Do with the Shadows. And, you know, I like that kind of stuff, you know, funny horror stuff and things like that. For sure. But I would definitely check out those if you get a chance on Hulu. They're good for laughs and boosting the spirit.
Boosting, especially
absolutely.
Time.
We need it.
Yep, we need the boosts.
It's a good tonic.
Yes. So I'm kind of curious, Mike, do you have a spiritual belief system? What do you think about the big picture? I know this is a big one. This is my Geraldo question. I'm just kind of trying to figure it out with your views on the paranormal. Or what is it? What do you think is going on?
Well, I think it's similar to Steinbeck's Oversoul. That God is in each of us, and we're all connected to an oversoul. That's what I believe.
That's a book. There's a book called that, Steinbeck's Oversoul. I'll have to check it out. That's a good answer. That's the shaman answer. The shaman answer. There's so many different ways to say it. I'll look it up. The Oversoul. Sounds interesting for sure.
Yeah, it might. That might not be the title of the book, but it's certainly the theme of the book. So if you Googled that, you'd find it. If you Googled it, you'd find it.
It's from Grapes of Wrath, though, right?
Yeah.
It's like I see a lot of stuff about it. I looked it up really fast. Are most of your stuff's on Audible, or do you do other platforms? Yeah. You said iTunes and stuff like that?
iTunes. But, I mean, definitely if you're interested in saving a little money, you can get an iTunes or an Audible membership, and you can get these at about half of what you would normally pay retail for. Still, the retail price is half of what you would pay for physical cassettes, because these are only available as digital downloads. So if you go to Audible and buy the book, you'll be invited to download it. But first, you have to download their app. The app is free. It's super easy to use. And it does what you need it to do. It'll bookmark where you are, so the next time you start the book, it'll remember. And you won't have to figure out, I was in chapter 15, so I need to go to 15. No, it'll just remember where you are. And, it's Amazon. Over the years, they've added more ads and stuff to it. But you can ignore that. So.
There's some interesting stuff on there. I know I found some hard-to-find Ravenloft books from Dungeons & Dragons, like horror novels based on that stuff. And I found the PDFs of them, but then I was like, they got audiobooks of this stuff. I'll have to check those out. But they need to have a sale. Do they have sales on there ever?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay.
I think if I'm remembering correctly, the Ravenloft audiobook was done by Richard E. Grant. Back when he was probably starving. he was in Loki in this last season.
Oh yeah, he was the older Loki. The dude. I like that. Yes. I didn't really like it when he croaked. Maybe he comes back hopefully at some point.
I hope so.
Yeah, that was really good for sure. I enjoyed it. Definitely all those timelines and stuff are hard to keep up with, but they explained it pretty good. But that dude that played Kane the Conqueror, I forget his name, but he was in Lovecraft Country, really good actor, the African-American gentleman. I forget his name, but I've looked it up before because I forgot it, but he was in Lovecraft Country, which they canceled that, of course. I thought it was decent, but of course HBO killed it. But he's a good actor. I'm looking forward to what he does with that character for sure. He was doing a really good job there, no doubt about it.
I saw the first three episodes of Lovecraft Country. I liked it. I thought that its attention to detail was superb. Art direction was superb. Acting was great. I just didn't feel compelled to watch anymore.
Well, they canceled it, so a lot of times you're like, well, why do it anyway now? What's the point? Just get your hopes up, and then they kill it. That happened with a lot of stuff. Hopefully it doesn't happen with the new... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, at that point, you just have to regard it as a mini-series. Because what I was seeing followed the book pretty stringently. So, I mean, there were some things that were different, like the daughter, who is sort of the wizardess, the witch, in the book is male. That character is male.
Okay. I have the book. I just never read it, but I have it.
It's a good audiobook, too.
One thing that made me very sad, Michael K. Williams died. He was in Lovecraft Country. He was in Boardwalk Empire, Hap and Leonard. African-American gentleman, really good actor. Heroin overdose, which, I mean, it happens. But he was in The Wire. He was the uncle in that show, Lovecraft Country. I don't know if you know. Yeah. He's in Boardwalk Empire. He was with Steve Buscemi and all that, and the Mafia. Really good actor. Look him up if you don't. He was in Hap to Leonard.
Yeah. Joe, I loved his character in Lovecraft Country. That really makes me sad.
It sucks. And he was Hap and Leonard, that show by Joe R. Lansdale's books. And Joe said some stuff about him. He played a black gay man, and James Purefoy was his friend. It was decent. Of course, they canceled it. Joe and James said some good things about him on Facebook and stuff. So it was a surprise.
I watched it.
Me too. I love Joe R. Lansdale. He's been on the show.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll have to dig it up and send it to you one year. I don't think it's online, but we talked about Weird West and a bunch of other stuff. And
yeah.
And he also said he was a socialist, which made some woman on the network mad, but she's gone now. He's just like, I'm a socialist. And this lady's like, I'd rather listen to a one-bladed ceiling fan than this.
Well, then pass forth. Go forth.
They're gone, so good riddance. But they're not on the network anymore.
Yeah.
But I love Joe R. Lansdale. I first found Joe R. Lansdale in that Jonah Hex Weird West comic. He redid it, Two Gun Mojo. I have a tattoo of that thing. It looks like crap now from some drunk biker in Florida a long time ago. But I love those comics. He also recommended a comic called The Six Gun, which I have them all. I haven't read it yet. It's supposed to be pretty good. But we end at 5 till. Are you good for the rest of that, or are you okay, Mike?
With the rest? No. Yeah, I'm on as long as you would like to have me.
All righty. Well, 5 minutes till. We'll eject you.
Okay.
It's been great, though. You're doing a great job.
Space, you know, but, just with everything
else. The Gong Show. Yeah. Have you done any other radio interviews?
No.
Wow, you're doing great. I feel extremely comfortable. It's all comfortable and laid back. You're doing a great job. We're having a good time.
Well, of course, I knew pretty much what your personality was like because you post on Facebook. And I enjoy it very much. And so I kind of was expecting a little bit of crazy, but you've been great.
I'm more older and burned out now, so not as crazy, but
no, I didn't mean that.
Well, you know, we can't use the F-bomb, so we have a limit on how crazy we can get.
Yeah, they took the F-bomb from us. And you got to watch Don Webb when he's on here with that F-bomb.
Yeah,
drop it like a freaking machine gun. We've had Temple of Stead on here a lot. That's pretty weird.
Whoa.
That's strange. They've never recruited me, but they're always friendly, and they've been on a few times, but that's Don Webb. And we talked about Michael Aquino and stuff, and stuff kind of creeps me out, but we talk about it.
Yeah. Is he still alive, do you know, Jeffrey?
He has passed away because there was a lot of rumors about it. And I asked Don, and Don told me that he really, really did go. He really passed away, like last September or something.
Okay.
And they
he was the character, that guy.
Definitely some weird stuff for sure. But they jokingly called him Grandpa Monster.
Of course,
he looked like little. Mine do that sometimes.
I have to like eyebrows. You know?
Yeah. He's got those eyebrows.
He waxed them.
He did something to where they look like triangles, like Temple of Set, like where Set lives. Set lived in his eyebrows. Yeah. Well, I guess
maybe he was trying to be a Vulcan or something.
It was weird. And he's in the military and stuff, so it was just strange. But still trying to figure that out. There's pictures of him all decked out and that stuff, and he's very open about it all, so it's definitely weird.
Satanism in the military is rampant. At least it was.
I've had the Anton LaVey spokesman person on. I've had several of them on sometimes. Let me see. I know what I want to kind of poke and prod you about horror. What kind of horror are you into? Where do you get your kicks horror-wise?
Well, reading right now, I have really fallen in love with Adam Neville. Do you know Adam Neville? He wrote The Ritual.
He's on my Facebook. Yeah, I've seen the movie, but I haven't read the book.
The book is better. Better. There's a whole subplot about Swedish death metal in the book that isn't in the movie. The whole subplot. You'll love it.
I'll check it out.
Short stories are wonderful, and that's where I really love his work. He is able to, just embrace urban horror. You know, so often we hear about rural horror, where, you know, babes in the woods, they go into the woods and they're set upon by evil cannibal.
Hey!
What?
I was just mocking the thing from earlier. I was talking about, hey! that tries to lure you off the trail. Hey!
Exactly.
Hey!
Hey!
Right. So anyway, he's really good. I love Adam Neville. I love Nick Cutter. He's new. I tried to read Paul Tremblay's collection, and I was too dumb to make sense out of it. So I know that they were stories, but they didn't seem to act like stories. It was weird. Maybe I'll try again. Maybe I'll read
it. I have his books, but like a lot of books I have, I never got around to reading it. But they sent it to me. Like, publishers will send me stuff without even asking, which is fine when they send stuff like that. But a lot of times they'll send, like, stupid crap that you don't want to read at all, like stuff about politics or something. But I have some Tremblay books. Oh, Nick Cutter, what did he write? I'm writing him down so I can look him up.
Yeah, he wrote the book about the Scouts.
I have that. That's what I thought it was. That's who I thought it was.
Brilliant. And then he followed that up with another book, and forgive me, I can't remember titles, but in the second book, there it's an undersea story. They're down at the bottom of the ocean in a research enclosure. Really good.
Wow.
Although, I have to tell you, I had to speed through parts of it because animals were put in jeopardy, and I don't like that. So,
understood for sure. I'll check it out. I know I have that Boy Scout book for sure. I'll look up the other ones. And I grew up on Stephen King, Anne Rice, you know, some Clive Barker, stuff like that. I was reading Stephen King in sixth grade.
Me too.
Back in the day, and I get I
what
still
was your
get
first. What was your first King book? I'm interested.
God, I swear I remember Misery. I remember that Dragon's Eye. There's other ones. I know there's several, but there's some I haven't even read yet. I need to get. I've been meaning to get them. Like Tommyknockers, I've never read that. I saw the movie. That kind of sucked. There was another one which
I liked it. I liked the book.
Yeah, the book's definitely better. I know Stephen King was talking trash even about that Tommyknockers movie or whatever. But it's okay. I mean, it's fun to watch, but the book is probably much better for sure. And I just got Billy Summers, his newest. I haven't read it yet. I always get his newest and usually read it right off, but I'm kind of behind on a few for sure, the short story collection, and I need to read Billy Summers. Read all the Anne Rice except her last two Vampire Chronicle books. I enjoy those. There's a bunch of different ones. I know what I was going to ask you. That creature in The Ritual, there's like a Norse situation. What kind of creature? Do you remember the details of that creature or whatever? It was Norse, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was like an elemental spirit from the primordial times. Like one of the giants in the earth, like Surtur, or one of those entities from Norse mythology.
Cool. I bet the book is probably, the movie wasn't bad, but I bet the book is probably better for sure. That's usually the case. But
do you remember the congregation that's up in the top of the building? All they look like desiccated babies. all yes, in a row. Yeah.
Yes.
Those are handled much more explicitly in the book. You'll find out really what those are in the book. Really good.
I'll check it out for sure. There was one horror movie I'm fixing to watch. I think that just came out on HBO Max, Malignant, I think, with that James Wan. I haven't watched it yet. It's supposed to be decent. Oh, okay. It just came out on HBO Max. It's called Malignant. And it has decent reviews. I know HBO Max is, you know, those movies are coming straight to there lately. And yeah. I know Dune's coming to there, I think. Yeah, Dune's coming to that. I don't know exactly when. It comes out October 22nd, then it comes to HBO Max. So if you have HBO, you can get HBO Max, and it doesn't cost any extra. But a lot of movies are just going straight to there, and you have like 30 days to watch them. I saw a weird that new Halloween Kills is coming to Peacock, which is weird, which I don't really – it's only $5 a month, so I may do it. I don't really want to go to a theater. But Halloween Kills, I'll do Peacock for a month to watch that for free.
yeah. But I mean, it looks good. I've seen the trailer. It looks really good. I'm fascinated by it. You know, I went on that tour, the Halloween tour in Pasadena, where they visited all the locations from the original movie.
Cool.
It's pretty cool. If you ever get the chance to do it, do it. It's through the Dearly Departed tours, and you can find their videos all over YouTube. Dearly Departed.
I'll check it out for sure, and better write that down too, or I'll forget. But David Gordon Green did that new Halloween. We just watched it again because Christina hadn't seen it. I wanted her to see it so we could watch Halloween Kills. I thought somehow, how am I forgetting his name? Was involved. Now I'm forgetting the dude's name from Eastbound and Down. Funny guy. He was in a movie. I mean, a show also on HBO with John Goodman, where they're religious fanatics and stuff. I forget the name of that. Danny something.
Okay.
I'd have to look it up. I'm forgetting his name right now. He was also in a weird fantasy movie with James Franco, where there's like this little Yoda smoking weed and stuff. Danny something. I'll find it eventually. He's involved in making that Halloween movie, but I don't think he's in it. He was also in Alien Covenant. He's usually a comedian most of the time. Okay. He was in This Is the End. That's where I can find his name at. Can't believe I forgot his name because I know he's a Capricorn and I remember that, but now my mind is gone.
IMDb.
Yes. I'm looking it up real quick because it's one of the – Danny McBride.
Okay.
He's a funny guy, but he does stuff with Seth Rogen and stuff like that. What other horror books have you been reading lately, or movies, or what have you been up to horror-wise?
He's good. One of my favorite series lately has been Evil. Paramount Plus. It's really good.
I've seen some of it, like one or two episodes, maybe just one. I meant to watch more.
I mean, it definitely is ARC TV, and so you get, you know, the characters change and they don't change back. So they're growing and going off in different directions, and it's really fascinating to watch. Like the first season, you know, because they all work for the Catholic Church, I was wondering if it was pro-Catholic. And I didn't get the impression that it was necessarily anti-Catholic until the second season. Now it seems like they're really dealing with it's not Catholic hate, but it's definitely, you know, not all bows and roses and, you know, exorcisms and that kind of thing. So it's definitely a good story, and really it's full of wonderful characters. So I liked it.
I know the guy the black dude was in 6 Feet Under, and he was Michael C. Hall's lover, and they were like a couple or whatever. He's a really good actor. Yeah, that 6 Feet Under show is really good. Have you ever seen it? That's by Alan Ball. It was on HBO about a family that lives in a funeral home.
Yes, I've seen parts.
It's good. Frances Conroy's in it.
That's where I saw her live.
She is a trip. She's in the American Horror Story. I'm watching it now, and she's just always really good and weird as hell, for sure.
I agree.
She gets weird down, for sure.
She was like one of the only things about Series 6 that was palatable, really, where she plays the extremist from the 60s who was with Valerie Solanas, and she's got that black wig on and she smokes those cheroots and she's always talking about killing men. And yeah, she was good.
Mike Coulter's the guy from, Mike Coulter's his name. That's the guy in Evil. But Frances Conroy, I'm watching the new American Horror Story, and it's really decent. It's better than some of the other ones, and it's a double feature to where there's 6 episodes that's a horror, a vampire kind of story, and then the last 4 episodes are going to be an alien story that takes place in Death Valley. Alien situation. But the American Horror Story story right now is about this chemist that moves to this weird, like, kind of Lovecraftian shady town by the ocean, and she gives out these weird pills that turn you into a vampire. They're black pills, and it embodies creativity. And if you're creative, you become like a genius and write books and do orchestras and symphonies. But if you don't have that spark, you become like a Nosferatu feeding off the townsfolk. It gets pretty weird, but it's good. And Lily Rabe's in it. She's the wife.
Love her.
She was. Did you ever see Letters from the Big Man?
Mm-mm.
Look that up. It's a weird ass Bigfoot movie she's in, and it's weird.
Letters from the Big Man. Okay.
Letters. Let me make sure that's the right name. I have it. I've interviewed Christopher Munch. Letters from the Big Man, and the Bigfoot like says Deepak Chopra stuff, but it's really the Bigfoot's really well done. It's Letters from the Big Man. She's in that, and the Bigfoot is pretty well done. It's kind of a weird one. I don't know where you can see it at, but it's there somewhere. I have it on a disc somewhere because I interviewed the dude that made it. Mm-hmm. It's on Put Locker, Xfinity. I don't know where else it is, but it's called Letters from the Big Man. And it's weird. It's definitely strange. Okay. It's a different kind of Bigfoot movie for sure. It's kind of spiritual. It's kind of like Bigfoot meets Conversations with God. Like, it's weird. Yeah. Wow. It's strange, but it's worth watching because she's in it, and then the Bigfoot is really good.
2011, yeah.
Check out the Bigfoot in it if you can. If there's a big picture, look at it. It's pretty trippy. Yeah.
Almost looks like they're lovers.
Like who?
Like they're lovers.
Oh. They don't, but maybe in the sequel. Okay. It's fun to watch.
Her mother is Jill Clayburgh, the actress, and her father is David Rabe, who is a playwright.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I know
David Rabe did some pretty gritty plays, let me tell you.
I'll have to look those up. I know, what's the lady from The Conjuring, Vera Farmiga?
Yes.
I know her. Tessa or something, her daughter's an American Horror. No, not her daughter, her sister. I always thought it was her daughter, but it's her sister.
Really?
It's her sister? That. It's her sister. You know who I'm talking about? The younger girl? Yes. That they're all, yeah. Yes. That's her sister. For some reason, I always thought it was the daughter, but it's a sister. I saw that recently. But she's good. I loved her in Vera in Bates Motel. She was a good Norman Bates mom.
I've never seen such fine acting.
Yeah,
I was floored.
Bates Motel was really good, crazy as hell, but good. And that dude, I don't remember his name, but he did a really good Norman. That was definitely It was one of those you didn't want to end. It just was really well done. I think it won a lot of awards too, but definitely some crazy in it. No doubt about it. Norman? Dug her up. But it's fun to watch.
You put me in the root cellar.
Oh God!
Yeah, she was milfish. But anyway,
it was milfish.
Better stop it. All right, we got about 4 minutes. It's been a really cool show. We've really enjoyed it. Your first show too. I like when that happens.
Oh, it's great. Did a great
job.
I feel like you guys have been very kind to me. That's very good.
Well, you've been very kind to us.
I felt very welcome. Thank you.
Cool. Well, keep us in the loop. And I sent her your info. What is your website again?
It's michael-hacker.com.
Michael-hacker.
Yeah, my name wasn't available as a URL, so I had to put the dash in.
If you ever need a Jack Nicholson or Christian Slater voice to read a book, let me know. I can smell pie like a fart in a car. I can do it.
I'm going to keep you in mind, Jeffrey.
I would do it. I don't know if I could do that voice all the time, but I think I got a good voice for it. One of the funniest things Jack Nicholson ever said, and I don't know why he doesn't like Christian Slater, but on the radio show, they asked him what the name of his penis was, and he goes, Slater, because he's a little prick. So I think he gets mad because he thinks I don't know. Maybe because he thinks he's stealing his act. I don't know, but they do sound similar.
Probably it.
Yeah. I'm sure he was an influence to Christian Slater. There's nothing wrong with that, but
no. It's Jack. I mean, there's Sharon Stone and Mommy Dearest. You know what I'm talking about.
Talking about
Faye Dunaway. You know, they were always compared.
Good old Faye.
Good
old Faye.
Mommy Dearest is Joan Crawford, though, ain't it? Or there's two of them there.
Well, Faye Dunaway played Joan Crawford.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. I've always heard about the coat hanger scene. I don't know if I've ever seen that movie, but for some reason I've heard about the coat hanger scene from somewhere.
It's amazing. No wire hangers. Yeah.
All right.
I'll be
in contact with you, Michael.
And don't forget what we do in the shadows, Michael. We need you on the council. You'll understand when you see it. All right, everybody. Thanks, Webb. Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
Everybody, have a good weekend.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye.
Good night, everybody. I don't think my blood pressure went up, so that's good.
I'm leaving.
Having BP stuff.
Leaving the studio now. Bye.
All right.
Jeffrey, I just wanted to let you know that lisinopril has a side effect that affected me.
It may be still alive, so be careful if it's what I think it is. I know. Is it what I think when you stand up and stuff with your sexual prowess? It can mess with that. Is that what you meant?
I meant that there's a cough. There is a dry cough that comes with it. It really affected me badly. So just
okay. Yeah. Some guy told me it gives him trouble when he stands up, you know, when he's being naughty or whatever. But anyway, he said, well, only when he stands reason. And I noticed it. I was like, man, you gotta be kidding me. I want to get off all that stuff. So I'm trying not to do it, but I'm still taking lisinopril. I'd like to get to where I'm not taking any of it because I don't want to take it. So I'm trying. I've been going to the gym and stuff, which I do the bike and stuff. I don't do anything too crazy, but the exercise bike, you know, cardio stuff. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Well, we appreciate it. Keep in the loop. And thanks so much, Mike. Take care.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Bye-bye.
Oh my God, the aliens have taken them. Holy crap, they have been taken by aliens. Run, people, run.